Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And this time around, I'm chatting to the excellent Jason Evans of the band Ingested. Ingested have a brand new record out on the 5th of April. If you are listening to this podcast on day of release, it will most probably be out, or it will be out very, very soon. Not too sure when this podcast is coming out yet, but what I can say is this is a fantastic conversation with Jason. Super honest, super fun, and at multiple points in this conversation, I was actually trying not to laugh so hard that I'd like completely lost control of the podcast. I had to hold it down. He's hilarious. He's open. He's honest. He's fun. This is such a great conversation. I cannot wait for you to hear it. So I'm going to shut up and let you guys listen to my conversation with Jason Evans of Ingested. Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And today we have got, well, basically we've got a band on who, in my opinion, are metal royalty in the realms of the extreme heavy end of metal. That isn't, in any case, I've got the excellent Jason Evans of the band Ingested on the podcast. How are you, mate? How's things?
Really good. It's just it's an exciting time, isn't it? We've got an album coming out very soon. We've got a tour coming up. We've been releasing loads of singles. Like, we've been preparing ourselves for the rest of the year. So, yeah, I'm just excited at the moment. Like, I'm just buzzing. I just want to get this album out and let everybody hear it.
Absolutely. I got sent the record yesterday, and it was one of those things. I love this job because I get sent things in advance, things like that. But when something like this comes through, I have to just drop everything. And luckily, I had a day off from my day job. And I was like, I was just in the car with my partner. And I literally walked across the car park and my phone pinged. And it was Andy. And I was like, ooh, I know what I'm listening to in the car. And she listens to more like filthy stuff than I do. Like, I have quite a wide variety, but like, I have to be in a certain mood to listen to really like heavy, heavy stuff. And she was like, I never heard Ingested. And I was like, you love bands like Lorna Shore and Brand of all this. How do you not know? She's like, yeah, okay. She's like, fucking hell. Fucking hell. That's a bit good, isn't it? Like,
nice.
She's from up north as well. So she was proper just like, I'm the northern. Oh, I love this.
Well, that's good to hear. That's the reaction that I want.
Absolutely. And I spoke just a second ago to you about something I want to address when seeing Ingested live, because again, I have to be in a certain mind frame to listen to this kind of extreme end of music. But every time you're on a festival bill, my man, I always try and see you, because there is a point in the set, and it's normally maybe two or three songs in, that I just laugh. And you know what? You know why I laugh? Because your music is so ridiculously fucking heavy. And there'll be a breakdown. I'm like, brilliant. Like, it's almost in the most loving, positive way. Almost like, you know, when you see like a really funny meme and it just makes you laugh. Like, it's like a musical that, but it's not, it's completely serious. It's just the way the which things are done. It's just kind of, I'm not going to try and attempt
just
to do your
ludicrously heavy.
Then there's just like a guitar that just makes you just like all your kidneys just fall out your ass, and it's like,
yeah,
hell. I love it. So as I say, you've got a new record out. It's called The Tide of Death and Fractured Dreams, which smashed that first time. Usually I read words on internet and I'm like, no idea. It'll be out on the 5th of April. We're having this conversation at the end of March. I wanted to ask, what is kind of your mood like ahead of the release? What's the mood like in the rest of the band? How are you kind of feeling about it?
Just excitement, really. We're really proud of the album. I know it's like a cliche, isn't it? Like, every band always says, oh, this is our best album to date. But like, I genuinely feel that. Like, I think we've got to a point now where I think this is like, I don't even know, but I think it's like our 8th studio album.
You're the man,
there's loads of other like releases that we've done like in between and shit, so I'm like, I don't even know how much stuff we've released. I just know it's loads. And it's like, we've been a band for like 18 years, and it's absolutely, like, we were kids when we started doing this, and it's I feel like now, with like all the experience that we've gathered over those 18 years and over all the albums and EPs and everything that we've released and recorded, we've got to a point now where we've developed ourselves as songwriters and performers to the point where it's freed us up so much now that we can do more things, if you know what absolutely. I mean. Like, yeah, it's like, the way I like to describe it is like when we first started, when we were kids, basically, when we were like 18 years old, when we released our first album, I think it was 2009, I think it came out, Ingested had a toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
And in that toolbox, there was only one tool. There was a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Which was fucking great because it did the job that we needed it to do at the time, but that was the only tool that we had. But as we've gone through the journey of our career, with each album that we've done, we've collected more and more different tools that we've added to our toolbox. And now we're in 2024, we're about to release The Tide of Death and Fractured Dreams, and now Ingested's got a massive fucking toolbox with a load of fucking tools, all for different jobs.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So now I feel like we're at the point where we can not only write more expansive death metal, we can also construct a more coherent album.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
absolutely.
Like years ago, it was like all we wanted to do was, our outlook on making an album was, let's just write 10 bangers and just stick it on a CD. Do you know what I mean? Which was great. And it is great. Like, but now, when we look back on that now, we're like, to us, that's not really an album, so to speak. Do you know what I mean? Because it's literally 10 bangers on a CD. Like, there's no coherency to it or anything. It's just, for like 40 odd minutes. Whereas now it's like, we're so much more conscious of the story of the album, not in a narrative way. I don't mean like it's like a concept album or anything, but I mean like the journey that the album takes you on. There's a clear start, there's a clear middle, there's a clear ending. Like, and as you listen to the album in its entirety, it takes you on a journey. There's ebbs and flows and peaks and troughs. There's the calm of the storm right in the middle, and then bang, you straight back out into this whirlwind. And then as the whirlwind peters out towards the end, we close the album with A Path Once Lost, which I think is probably one of the best songs that we've ever written as a band.
I think that's the thing as well. And again, I am very aware that I turned 31 this month. So I'm getting towards maybe that kind of stage where I'm a little bit more jaded because the young people know better than us and all the rest of it. Like, I think like kind of Spotify and kind of playlisting and that kind of culture has kind of in some kind of respect killed off the quote album, right? And I think that's really, really important to kick back against that. Because don't get me wrong, I love a playlist like the next person. You know, my playlist I have for my car has got like 2,000 songs in it. I can go from listening to Ingested, for example, all the way to Taylor Swift, which for normal people, when you're in the car with them, is a bit of a juxtaposition. But you know what? You got to do what you got to do.
Exactly.
So I think when you talk about an album having a start, a middle, and an end, that is, you know, the perfect kind of point, because it does kind of, this album does go on a massive load of journeys. And you said that the early albums had, you know, just 10 bangers. I think you got 10 bangers here, mate, to be honest.
Yeah, totally.
It's just full of riffs and just punch and swing. But like you said, there is that kind of, and I think, and please correct me if you feel like I'm wrong, is a maturity in the sense of being older and more mature in terms of musicians, of being able to say, right, we're not just going to pummel you for 40 minutes. We don't need to. We can step it back and then we'll go, because that's that pull on the release. You know, it's basic physics with most things. You know, if you leave something, they want it again. And then bang, that's why, you know, the nostalgia circuit works so well for bands, because, you know, they slog it out for so long, then they'll go away for 5-10 years. And everyone's like, oh my God, like they're back. And like, yeah, do you know what I mean? It's the cycle for everything. So in terms of creating art and music, it makes perfect sense. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with what you said. Like, we could just smash people over the head with that sledgehammer over and over and over again, but like, it loses its impact.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? After a while, the sledgehammer's not so sledgehammery. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's not those, yeah. Like, so it's like you said about the push and the pull, and like it's about building up to crescendos, and when a slam comes in, or when a breakdown comes in, or when a massive riff comes in, it's like we want it to have impact every single time. Do you know what I mean? I want the hairs on the back of your arms like standing up and shit. Like that's, or I want you to be like, as soon as a slam or a breakdown comes in, go, oh my fucking God. Like, do you know what I mean? Like that's, but if you constantly do that all the time, then that never happens anymore. It'll happen the first time and it might happen the second time. But then by the third time, you're like, all right, well, I kind of knew that was coming. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like you said as well, like, you know, well, the new album is 10 bangers, and it is 10 bangers, and you can listen to them individually. Like, you can listen to them. They can pop up on your Spotify playlist, and they stand alone, and they do go hard. Mm-hmm. But the way that we've crafted this album is, the design of it is to listen to in one, like, sitting. Like, that's the whole point of it, because, like we said, the journey that it takes you on. But you can listen to them like separately, or we wouldn't be releasing singles. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the thing. You can't, I think bands will try, but if you try and break the mold, you know, because some bands do for the surprise release, even, you know, Avenged Sevenfold famously done it, Canterbats have done it in a kind of more underground sort of circles, if you like. And lots of bands just kind of drop it and go, bang, here it is. And that's such a kind of like, oh shit, like this is amazing, or it might get lost in the algorithm. So I think having to release singles and get that hype machine, and it can be difficult. And, you know, I totally understand that, you know, press sometimes can be a bit of a slog. So the first thing I tell everyone when I get the opportunity is, I am not a fucking journalist. I don't work for anybody. I just am a fan of your band, and I've managed to get you on a Zoom call.
I like that. Because, you know, it's like the press that the press schedule that I've had for this album is quite unlike anything that I've ever experienced in my life. It's been like constant for like two and a half weeks, like every day, all day. And it's been mad, because it's like, obviously you're talking to people from all over the world, and
yeah, of course.
And you're talking about the same subject, really, because it's about the album, isn't it? So it's like invariably, you just end up answering the same questions over and over again. Like, so it's like, it's refreshing to like just have a sit down and a chat like this one. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is nice. Absolutely. Like, rather than you just firing questions at me and me going, yeah, well, let's do that. And I'm just saying the same shit over and over again. This is nice. I'm relaxed.
I'm a PR's nightmare, because they're like, did you mention the album? I'm like, maybe. I'll mention
the album. Don't worry about it.
I've done a full hour conversation with a band before, and I think I've not even mentioned the title of the album. We've just said there's one coming out. It's coming out on the day of this release. Yeah, yeah. Cool. So let me tell you, like, how do you feel about the Pokemon and like all this horror movies and all this other stuff? And it's like, do you know what I mean?
Well, you mentioned the album right at the beginning, and you said it perfectly first time. So do you know what I mean? It's all good. It's all good, mate. You've ticked that box.
Absolutely. I wanted to talk about as well is something to do with consistency, because this band has released an album every 2 to 3 years since 2009, right? Mm. And I know for myself, doing this podcast and doing content and things like that on YouTube, and I've done that since 2016, 2017, it can take over your life, right? So how do you find being the member, the singer in Ingested, also being, you know, Jason, just doing his laundry, mowing his grass. How do you find that balance? Or is it not a balance? Or are you just fully like, and I know that sounds like a strange question, but like, do you ever have quote unquote time off in terms of just being like, cool, I'm at home, I'm watching telly with the partner, whatever it may be, you know?
Yeah. When I'm at home, I'm dad mode. I mean, I'm at home, I'm with my wife and my kids, and that's it. Like, do you know what I mean? It's my time off. Like, but there's stuff where it's like scheduled in, like interviews, and like if I have to record demos, or if I have to go out and record a music video and stuff, like it's all scheduled in. So it's like having a work rota. Do you know what I mean?
I wish I had a work career. I'll be in bed and I get so turned off by my wife, be Rebecca. She's like, "Will you put your fucking phone down?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've just got to send this email and I'll be with you." She's like, "For God's sake!" Like, so that's why I kind of like. And I guess it kind of comes with experience of being in a band for so long. You kind of learn to go, cool, this is my work mode. And now this is, I'm off work mode. I'm in family mode and things like that, you know?
Yeah. It's like, it used to be a lot different. Like before my kids were born and stuff, it was like being Jason from Ingested was my life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because it was everything. Like it completely consumed my life. And then obviously, like, as I've got older, got married, got kids, like, then it's like I have a life now. I have another purpose. Like, do you know what I mean? So Definitely. So now it's like when we're on tour and stuff, it's like there's like a flick that switches, if you know what I mean. Because like I'm not like this when I'm on stage performing.
No, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get what I mean? Like, so it's sort of like, and I have to separate that. And I didn't used to be able to separate that like years ago. And it was like, I was a nightmare to be around. Do you know what I mean? Because it was like, this is who I am. Like, do you know what I mean? And I thought that was what I was supposed to be like that. Mm-hmm. But like now it's like, I'm Jason Evans. Just that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Little dickhead from Manchester, like just mooching around. Do you know what I mean? Happy to be here. And then as soon as like about 10 minutes before we get on that stage, it's like I flick the switch and then I'm the Slam King. Mm-hmm. And then it's someone else. And it's sort of like, it's like a weird autopilot. Do you know what I mean? It's like I'm watching myself from a different perspective. Like, and I think like, although that sounds weird,
no, not at all. Because I was going to say, the only thing that I've never been in a band or anything, but doing this podcast, I'm so locked into this conversation right now, right? And in maybe an hour's time or whatever, I'll go away and I'll edit it and whatever. And I'll kind of go, that was, I said, that. Like, do you know what I mean? Because you're so in that moment. But as soon as you step out, it's like, cool, that's, you know what I mean? And it's kind of that weird, it's the instant gratification that is slightly delayed. Because luckily, this conversation's been had on the 20th of March. And it will go out just before the album, which is only in a week or so time. But sometimes I'll do stuff like 3 months in advance, because that's the way, if I can get an artist 3 months in advance, get a promo copy, get the interview done, log it, I can then have, like, so for example, Christmas is a really good example, because as you probably well know, the music industry basically stops from like November all the way through to like mid-January. So if I've got to do two, well, I haven't got to, if I try and do two podcasts a week throughout December, that's hard work. But what I do is then just go, in like November, I'm like, right, cool, let's fucking do everything all in November, and then I have like January off. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of that kind of finding the balance is really important.
Yeah, I agree. You have to find the balance. Like, cause like I said, I didn't used to be able to balance it. It was all tilted in one direction. But now it's like, it's a lot more manageable. Do you know what I mean? Because I can clearly separate that part of my personality from my everyday. Like,
yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean? Because I'm a pretty happy guy. Like, I'm like, do you know what I mean? I'm always laughing. I'm always joking. But it's like, I don't want to be that on stage, because that doesn't fit. Do you know what I mean? I need that. I need that intensity. I need that aggression. And like, that's a part of me that I wasn't able to manage very well. Like when I was younger, do you know what I mean? I was getting into trouble with stuff like fighting and alcohol and drugs and just general assholishness. Now being able to make that clear distinction and keep that part of me in a box until it's time to open the box. Yeah. But then all that negative shit, I can then channel that in a positive manner. Do you know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Make something good with it.
This is the thing. I think like it's, you know, because we're entrenched in the heavy community, right? Me listening to it my first ever gig was 2008, for example. Do you know what I mean? And like you being in a band and things from the outside, like my parents, right? They obviously know that I do this and they're like, but they're so angry. And I'm like, no, they're not. Like, it's the same way that you go and see like an actor on script on a telly or whatever. And I'm like, what do you mean? I was like, all right, so take like Idris Elba, right? I imagine Idris Elba is a lovely man, but he's a bastard in Luther. Like,
yeah.
He's walking around just fucking like knocking people. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's that kind of thing of being like, it is, you know, it's performance art in the best possible way. So that makes perfect sense. I wanted to touch on the kind of early life of Jason and how you got into music, because I think it's really interesting to kind of break down where people got into the heavy music. And, you know, Ingested is definitely on the extreme end of that spectrum, because for me personally, for example, I started out like with Green Day, Bullet for Valentine, entered Shikari, and then somehow went to Behemoth, and then it kind of fell off a cliff. But like, so also, Lars, what was kind of your early kind of growing up in terms of music? Was it music in the house? Was there music around? And how did you learn and get into death metal and things?
So I was born in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mum and dad split up when I was about three.
Mm-hmm.
So I lived with my mum in like a council estate in like South Manchester.
Yeah.
And like every other weekend I'd go over and stay at my dad's house and stuff like that. Or I'd go to my nana's, because my nana owned a pub like in the middle of fucking nowhere. Like,
amazing.
But I'd go to my dad's, and my dad had this, because like in the late 80s, like early 90s, he used to do things like DJing for like parties and weddings and shit like that.
Yeah.
So he had like this, he had this crazy like vinyl collection.
Amazing.
Like, I mean, it weren't really like a collection back then, though, mm-hmm. you know, not like it is today, because now it's it's like a collector's thing. But back then it was just like,
he was DJing.
So like, that was how he was like, but my dad was like always really into like proper 80s, like pop music, stuff like Duran mm-hmm. Duran, Kraftwerk, Tears for Fears, like stuff like that. Like New Order and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that was the kind of stuff that I always listened to. Like that was the music that I would hear, basically.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I didn't know any different. So like when I started going to primary school and stuff, I think it would have been the last year of primary school. So I'd have been in like year six. So that means I would have been 11, I think. Mm-hmm. 11? 11 or 12 when you're in year six.
You leave
just before you leave to go.
High school at 16, you have 3 years in high school, so it's 30. Yeah. You probably would be about, yeah, probably about,
yeah, 11. About 11, yeah. And I remember I'd gone round to my friend's house for tea after school, mm-hmm. and we're downstairs, like I think we're probably playing with like wrestling figures or something.
Amazing.
And then I could hear some noise coming from upstairs, and I'm like, what the hell? What's that? And my mate says, oh, that's my older brother. He's listening to music in his room. And I'd never heard anything like what I was hearing. I was like, well, can we go and listen? Like, so we went up, knocked on his bedroom door, and he opens it. He's like, what? And my mate's like, oh, Jason like heard what you're listening to. He's just wondering if you can show him like what you're listening to. And then it's like his eyes kind of lit up, you know what I mean, as if to say, oh my god, like this kid's like taking an interest in this, like. And he's like, yeah, come on in. Like, so we go in and he's like showing me all these bands, and there's Fear Factory, there's Cold Chamber, Machine Head, what else was he showing me? Slayer, Pantera,
amazing,
Metallica, like. And I'd never heard anything like this, and it was like blowing my mind. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Like, and then when my mum came to pick me up after tea and that, like, his brother was like, yeah, borrow these CDs, you can borrow these.
Amazing.
So he gave me Demanufacture and Obsolete from Fear Factory.
So
I get home and I'm like, I put them on my mum's stereo and I'm like recording them onto like tape cassette. I was like, we were pretty poor like when I was a kid and shit. So it was like, I didn't have like a Sony Walkman. The only CD player that I even had anywhere in the house was this big fucking like Alba stereo bullshit
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like recording them onto tape cassettes, and then then when I'm going to school, I'd like listen to them on the way to school, like on my little tape deck.
Amazing.
And that's how I got into metal. And then from then on, it was like, I started the next year, I was going into high school. So then obviously then you're meeting all new friends and shit. And then you're meeting other people who are into metal and stuff. And then you start buying magazines, and then do you know what I mean? And then by that point, Kerrang and Scuzz were on telly and stuff. Like, do you know what I mean? Because we had like one of those chipped like satellite boxes.
Yeah, I know the ones. I love that. Love that.
And then it all just went from there. And then obviously you start, as you get a bit older and then your birthdays are coming and you're getting money for your birthday, then it's like, oh, I'm going to HMV. And then you stood in the metal and the rock section, and you're looking at CDs and you're buying them just because of what the album art looks like. So that's, I'm amazing. Like, do you know what I mean? So I'm like, Cannibal Corpse.
Absolutely not amazing. I had the same thing, and the one that was really was No Time to Bleed by Suicide Silence.
Yeah.
And again, I remember my auntie, like, it was like Christmas, and she was like, I'm gonna go into this shop, do you want to come with me? Anything? I picked, and she was like, really? And I was like, yeah, please, it looks really good. No idea what it was like, you know. Obviously I had some experience of metal, but I was like, I don't know what this is. And I was like, right, okay, that's what that is, amazing.
But that's it though, like back then it was like the internet, I mean obviously the internet existed, but it was like I didn't have the internet, I couldn't afford the internet, like, do you know what I mean? And it was sort of like the only way I could find and discover like actual extreme metal, unless it was in like bloody Kerrang, which let's face it,
they don't touch it,
definitely not gonna be, is it? Like it was sort of like it would be going into HMV and then looking at album covers and being like, oh my God, what's this album? It's got like the logo looks like it's all drippy blood and these zombies all over the front of it. This has got to be amazing. Do you know what I mean? And then I'd drop a tenner on that CD and then I'd take it home. And that was how I'd discover bands. Like, and then
this is the thing.
I wanted
to kind of ask is, again, you feel free to say yes or no or whatever, but are you kind of envious of the new Gen X or whatever they are now, because they've got access to everything, right? Or would you change it versus how we grew up? Because again, I was born in 93, so similar scenario of having to save up pocket money and go and buy things. But I think, personally speaking, I find more value, again, maybe just because we're at that age, I find more value in buying things, like holding a vinyl in my hand is kind of like looking at the artwork. Whereas now it's kind of like I open Spotify, Tidal, whatever, and I'm like, I have no fucking idea. Yeah. And the thing is, I'm trusting an algorithm to send me things. Whereas before you kind of went on your own bias.
Found it yourself.
You know, if you got it wrong and you didn't like it, you either had to lump it or take it. It's scratched. Sorry. Can I get a refund?
Yeah.
Can I get this different copy of something else instead? Like, you couldn't just, nowadays it's kind of like, oh, just whatever. I'll just, you know, skip this one. And it's so weird, you know?
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, obviously, it's like you said, we're from like a different generation to like what's going on now. And it's like, but for me, I miss that excitement and that surprise. Do you know what I mean? Because nothing's a surprise anymore.
No,
nothing at all. Like everything's spoiled all the time.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? You always know when something's coming out. You always know what's going to happen. It's like same with movies. Do you know what I mean? Nothing's a surprise anymore. Yeah. The biggest one for that is wrestling.
Okay,
because I'm a massive pro wrestling fan, do you know what I mean? I love WWE and AEW and New Japan and all that kind of shit. And it was like, when I was growing up, it was like, you never knew what was going to happen when you were watching it. But now, it's like, everything's on the internet. Oh, it's leaked, it's this, this is what's going to happen at WrestleMania, this is what's going to, do you know what I mean? You're just like, this is crap. But I think that's the same with music, though. It's the same thing. Everything, nothing's a surprise anymore. Do you know what I mean? There's none of that feeling where it's like going into a record shop and buying a record and having no idea what the band is or what it sounds like. You're just going, that album looks sick. That's got to be good. And then you're taking that risk. Do you know what I mean? You're taking a gamble with your tenor. And it was like, that feeling was amazing. And even if you didn't like it, you'd be like, oh, I got this album, but I don't like it. And then you'd be like, oh yeah, you can have a listen to it. You might like it, to one of your friends. And then you just give them the CD and it's like, they'll either like it or they'll think it's shit. Like, do you know what I mean? But there's none of that no more. Like, do you know what I mean? I mean, it's great. The internet's great because obviously you can get your music out to the whole world.
Yeah, of course.
Like, absolutely, the whole world. Yeah. And that's great. But I don't know. I mean, for me as a consumer, I mean, as a band, if I'm talking from like being in a band perspective, yeah, like a business perspective, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But like as a consumer, like I miss that surprise. I miss like the anticipation and the excitement of having no idea. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, this is the thing as well. Like, my other half, Rebecca, thinks I'm pretty mad sometimes doing this, but I used to do this when I was younger. I'd go into, because again, I'm born in East Anglia, kind of, so Norwich is my central kind of city. I'd go in there and there'd be a guy who used to work in HMV back in the day who had massive dreadlocks, right? And he was clearly a fucking metalhead or emo or whatever tonnery you want to throw it. He was into like the heavy music, right? So I'd go and find this guy and be like, yo, what's good? Like, literally, what is in this section of music? You get to listen to music all day long. What is good?
Yeah.
And I trust that man's judgment. Sometimes he gave me a dud, but you know what I mean? Like, but the thing I do now is I'll go into like an independent record store, especially, and be like, so what do you like? What's good? Like, because I think they're like, oh, I like this. Are you into like rock or metal? And they're like, a little bit. And I'm like, but I do think this like indie album's really good. And I'll be like, cool. And I'll go away, check it out. And like, oh, this is sick. I'll go buy the vinyl. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that's really cool. Like, and you know, I don't want to be too disparaging towards the press and content creators and things like that, but I think everyone's got an opinion, but not everyone's opinion is right. That's the kind of important takeaway to have on things. I think because, like, if you, you know, I could turn around and say, Ingested is the best fucking album ever made by anyone ever, right? Mm. And I reckon a few people might disagree with me.
Yeah, probably.
You know, but...
Well, their opinions would be the incorrect ones, though, wouldn't they? That's the thing.
So, you know, it's kind of important to be like, you know, just trying. I think that's the thing with Spotify and things, because I know that from a band's point of view, it's a double-edged sword in the sense of you get, you know, massive exposure potentially and all that kind of reach, but also you're getting paid fucking dog shit money.
You get fucking no money for it at all.
But that being said, there is, I read online, there's rumblings of like them trying to pass a law in America that they, you know, but we'll see. We will see.
Yeah, we'll see. Shit like that, I'm always skeptical of it, because I'm just always like, what you're going to do is you're going to give us like, oh, it's like, oh, look what we've done for you. Aren't we good?
Yeah,
of course you are. You do realize that we're the ones making the music. So technically we should get the lion's share of it. Like, absolutely. That is how it works. Yeah. That is how it should work.
And that's the thing, you know, if you're Taylor Swift or Ed Sheeran, or, you know, even someone like Slipknot or Maiden or whatever, like in the metal world, it's kind of like, yeah, fair enough. You're going to get, you know, a good percentage of your revenue because a lot of people listen to you. But if you're starting out in a band, or even if you're in a mid-tier band who get, you know, a reasonable amount of followers and listeners, you're just not going to get, you know, and they'll, like you say, they'll give with one hand and go, look, we'll give you some money here, but we'll take all your fucking money.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
One hand and take the other. So it's a bit of a shit show sometimes. I wanted to talk about a couple of guest spots you've had on the new record. Famously, obviously, Mark of Chimera and Josh of Psilosis.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask how that came about. Did you approach them? They approach you? Was it a management deal, or how did that all come about?
Well, with Josh, we've known Josh for years.
Yeah, for sure.
Because obviously, like, Ingested and Psilosis came up
through
the same UK scene. So we've known Josh for years. We've always wanted to work with him. But the way that we do guest vocal spots is we have to wait until the right song comes along.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because it all has to make sense. Like, it has to make... Because one of the biggest things that I absolutely hate at the moment, and it's rampant in our genre, in our scene, is when you see a song come up by a band and it's like, so-and-so band featuring so-and-so vocal. It's like, and you're like, oh, sick. Like, and you put it on and you listen to it and 3.5 minutes go by or whatever, or 3 minutes go by and you're like, where's this fucking vocalist, man? Like, where's it? Have I missed it? Like, how the fuck? Like, and then right at the end, there'll be like a fucking breakdown or something, or a beatdown, and it'll be about 15 seconds and this guest vocalist will come on and just do some fucking vocals for like 15 seconds and then the song will end. And you're just like, well, what was the fucking point in that? Right. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's added absolutely fuck all to this song.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, you've clearly just been clout chasing with that. Do you know what I mean? You've just banged this vocalist on the end of your song just so you can put their name in your fucking song title so it does better in an algorithm or you get more fucking clicks or whatever on it. And to me, that's just... It's just artistically bankrupt, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, so it's like, for us, we like... When we get a guest vocalist, they are a part of the song. Mm-hmm. Like, they're a part of the song because we want them on it, because we think it'll work with the song. Because, mm-hmm. like, we'll get a vocalist because of who they are as a vocalist, their vocal personality, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's definitely. Like, for that to work, the song has to fit who they are so that the song and the guest vocalist can elevate each other. So for us, but the way that we write is that we're not just going to go, oh, we want this guy on the song. Better write a song for this guy. Do you know what I mean? It's just the song will organically happen at some point. And then when it does, then that's when we'll make the call and be like, yo, like, and basically we wrote Expect to Fail. And we were like, Josh would sound amazing on this. Like, this would be a song that Josh would nail.
Yeah.
So we recorded it and asked him, and he said, yeah, absolutely. Like, send me the song. We sent him the song, and then a couple of hours later, he sent it back and it was done. And it sounded amazing, like absolutely amazing. Better than we even imagined it. And so it was nice to finally be able to work with Josh. The Mark Hunter thing was a little bit different, because usually we'll only get guest vocalists of people that we know.
Mm-hmm,
like, sure. You know what I mean? People that we're like friends with or whatever. Just because that's just the way we work. We've always just felt it's a bit weird, isn't it? Just asking someone you don't know. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we do have like a bucket list, you know, like a wish list of vocalists that we'd love to work with. But you know, it's never going to happen. Like, do you know what I mean? It's all like mad vocalists on there and stuff. Like, it's just like fucking Corey Taylor, like Randy Blythe, and you're just like, they're never gonna happen. But it's nice to think, innit?
I've got a wish list of bands I'd love to have on the podcast, and all I'll say is never say never.
Yeah.
When I wrote that in 2021, I was like, yeah, there's no fucking way I'm getting any. And you know what? I've been ticking a few off. So never say never. That's all I'm gonna say.
Well, this is it about never say never. So Mark Hunter was on that list for us because Chimera has always been like such a massively important band to me and our guitarist Sean. For us, like, their album, Impossibility of Reasons, like one of the top five metal albums of all time.
I think they were the third ever band I saw live because they'd done a support tour with Trivium. They had an opening band who I can't remember. It was them, Whitechapel and Trivium in like 2009, I want to say.
That's a good lineup.
Anyway, fucking sick. Yeah, carry on.
That's a good lineup. But like, because that album was so like influential to us, like influential for Sean as a guitarist and influential for me as a vocalist. Like, Mark Hunter was always on that bucket list. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but we always just thought like, oh, you know, that'd be cool. Like, do you know what I mean? But it'll never happen. Because we never had any connection with him. Like, we don't know him. Like, we've never, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, weirdly enough, while we were in the studio recording Tide of Death and Fractured Dreams, we nipped out and went to a petrol station for like some snacks and like some drinks and stuff. And then Sean's on his phone on Twitter, and he's like, no fucking way. Mark Hunter's just like tweeted or retweeted or mentioned. I don't have Twitter, so I don't know what the term is. Like, but either way, he like spoke
I'm
about
so
us
invested.
In the comments.
I'm so invested in this right now. Yeah. I'm literally on the edge of my seat. I'm like, go on, finish. Like,
nah, and he's like, so he's like, oh, Mark Hunter's like talked about us on Twitter. And I'm like, you mean Mark Hunter from Chimera? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, fuck off. I'm like, no chance. And and he's like showing me, and I'm like, oh my fucking God, that is amazing. So like, Sean messages him like direct message, private message, whatever it is. Yeah. And he's like, oh, Mark, like, thank you so much, like, yeah, for your kind words. Like, seriously, like, we're such massive fans. So you've seriously made our day here. Like, honestly, yeah, that means the world to us. And Mark, like, replies and he's like, oh, no, no worries, guys. Like, love the band. And we're like, ah! Like, so then a few days later, anyway, I finished recording the vocals for the song In Nothingness. And I'm sitting there and I'm just listening back to it on repeat in the studio. And I'm just like, there's just something missing. And I just can't, do you know what I mean? There's just something.
Needs a bit of Mark Hunt. Like,
yeah, there's something missing. And I couldn't, yeah, for ages, I couldn't put my finger on what it was. And then I was listening to it and the chorus came in. And I'm like, oh, I said to our engineer, Nico, like, I'll put the chorus section on repeat. Like, just let me listen to that. And I'm listening to that bit over and over again. And then I think because it was on my mind,
because of
the conversation Sean had the other day, I can hear Mark Hunter, like, amazing, singing it, singing on the chorus. And I was like, yo, like, so then, like, me, Lynn and Sean are, like, discussing it. And I'm like, I think Mark Hunter would sound fucking amazing on this. Like, yeah, I really think, like, if you, like, I'm like, getting him to, like, play the chorus bit. And I'm like, just imagine he's, like, singing on this bit. Like, and they're like, yeah, man, that would sound fucking sick. And, so then Sean's like, what do I do? Should I message him then? Because, like, obviously, like, we've never worked like that before. We've never just asked someone out of the blue, and like, someone that we didn't really know. But obviously, because he'd said he likes the band, and he's like, and they had a little bit of a chat like the other day, I'm like, oh, well, you know, it's kind of like broke the ice a bit. Like, so then Lynn's like, yeah, just message him and ask him, like, what's the worst he can say? No. Yeah. And then we'll be like, oh, right, okay then. Like,
yeah.
So Sean just messaged him and just said, like, hey, Mark, we're in the studio at the moment. We've just finished a song that we think, like, you know, you'd really, really shine on. Like, we were just wondering if you'd be interested in collaborating with us on this song. And he was like, yeah, send me the song. So we sent it over. And then a few days later, he sent it back and he's on the whole song. He does his aggressive vocals, like, through the verses. And then he's like, the chorus comes in and he, like, proper gives it that fucking chimera shit. And it's fucking amazing. We were buzzing, like, genuinely buzzing. Like, yeah, that's how we ended up getting Mark Hunter on our fucking album.
This is something and again, my listeners will probably be bored of me saying it, but always just ask, because what is the fucking... That is literally how I started doing these interviews, is just asking. Like, so it came up in my Facebook memories today, actually, that I released the Pendulum episode yesterday. And it was just a case of, I just dropped Perry a DM on Instagram. I was like, hey, Trent, and again, no interaction whatsoever. Yeah. Just tried my luck. And he went, can you do Thursday? And I was like, yes.
Holy shit. And you know hell.
What? He was actually, I'm going to say it every time, but he was the fucking nicest dude. And I was so fucking nervous. And I said to him, and he said to me, he went, don't worry, I don't bite on the first date. And literally, after that, we were like, we're in, we're locked in. It's all
nice.
I love it. I've got a couple of final questions for you, Jace, before we let you on your way. And I'm so, so thankful for your time. You've been Ingested as a band since 2006, I believe.
That's right.
So you've definitely played some weird or strange places. I would like to know, where is the weirdest or strangest place that springs to your mind? And when I say that, I don't mean it in a negative sense of two people turned up and the dog. I don't mean that.
No.
What I mean is just you've looked around at your bandmates and gone, who the fuck booked us for here? Or why are we here?
There's a clear winner. Okay, thanks for it. There's a fucking clear winner. So I think we were on the Summer Slaughter tour in America. And like, you have, obviously you have, like, travel, you know, because like the US is a very big place. So absolutely, some of the drives are insane.
It blows my fucking mind how big the US is. I've never been, but it's again, massive. You see on like social media, like, I've traveled 8 hours to see a band. I'm like, people complain.
That's normal though. Fucking, that's normal for them though.
People complain from going to Sheffield to Manchester. Yeah,
exactly.
They don't play their fucking city. Like,
exactly right. Do you know what I mean? Right. When you tour America and you see how far people travel to go to shows and shit, when you come back and then you're in like Europe and the UK and you see on online like people whinging, oh, you're not coming to fucking Leeds, and you're just like, and there's a show in Manchester, and you're just like, are you fucking for real? Like, it's about half an hour on the fucking train and you won't even fucking go. Like, fuck off. Like, fuck off.
I need to ask, why haven't you played my kitchen yet? My kitchen is available.
Exactly. Oh, like, but you're not playing in my garden. Why is my... You make a tour announcement and they're like, why is my street not on the tour? And it's just like, oh, fuck off. Like, just get on a fucking train or a bus, man. But anyway, back to like, the point was... So you have to, like, when you tour in America, you have to have these things called travel days.
Mm-hmm,
so it's like you have a day off just to travel because it's that far to the next show. But what you can do is, if you want to make a little bit of gas money or whatever, your booking agent will book you a routing show.
Okay, yeah,
it's like a show on the way, like halfway on the travel day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So... some of these routing shows.
Again, you're so good these routing shows and stories. I'm locked in already. Like, I'm so there.
Dude, right, seriously. Some of these routing shows are some of the weirdest shows that you'll ever play. Because they're in like fucking bumfuck nowhere.
Yeah.
And they're just in the weirdest like fucking venues and shit. But the one that sticks out was we had a show in Chattanooga, Tennessee, right?
Chattanooga,
Tennessee. What a great name, right? Absolutely. This place, right? So we get there and we're like, well, the sat-nav, like the Google Maps and IMAPs and all that, everything's saying that it's right here. And we're in this car park and we're like, where the fuck is the venue? And all we can find is like a general store, you know, like a fucking off license. And we're like, where's this fucking venue? Yeah. And we're fucking calling our fucking booking agent and everything. We're like, have you given us the wrong address? Like,
yeah.
And he's like, no, that is the address. Like, it should be there. So then we're like, we're fucking out of going around this fucking block trying to find this fucking venue. Turns out that the venue is this weird little room at the back of the general store. Right at the back of this off license, there's just this room that's got like a fucking pool table in it.
Amazing.
Right. And we're like, what the fuck? And so we're like, right, okay, then this is fucking weird. So we set up and everything. We do like this room's fucking tiny as well.
Yeah.
And we set up, we do like our sound check and shit. And then the support band arrives.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the tallest. I don't know what you're going to say,
dude. I have never seen anything like this. So they're called Hate Stomp, right? Hate Stomp.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
I'm already envisioning what they sound like, but yeah.
Oh, dude, right. So they do their sound check and their setup and shit and everything. And we're like, all right, nice to meet you. Like, you know, the usual shit. Thinking everything was normal.
Yeah.
Right. And then
I'm sorry,
the door's open, right? And then you've got all these people, the good folk of Chattanooga, Tennessee, coming through the doors. And it was like the room was full. Like there was about a good like fucking 60 people in there, like, do you know what I mean? Which was full, like, because it was a tiny room. And these guys like fucking bringing in their own moonshine that they've made at home and shit like it literally smelled like petrol. It was horrendous. And but anyway, like they're all shit-faced. Everyone's shit-faced. And we're just stood at the back of the room like, what's going on here? Like, and then Hate Stomp took to the stage.
Yeah.
Looking decidedly different than they looked earlier in the day. And they all had fucking like Confederate flag like masks, like with the eyes cut out.
I thought you were gonna say something like that. No. I was bracing myself.
Dude, like, nah, mate, like it was the fucking outright. So they had all these fucking like Confederate flags like around their faces with eye holes and mouth holes cut out, and they've got Confederate flags all over their fucking stage amps and shit, and we're just like, oh, what is going on here? Like, we're like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, and So they're playing their set and shit. And then right at the end of their set, they then start fucking, the singer starts shouting, going, "Oh, I heard that we've got these motherfuckers from Scotland. Fucking digestive, indigestion." And then he pulls out a bottle of fucking Pepto-Bismol and starts dashing it around the fucking venue and all over the crowd and everything. Like fucking, like everywhere. And everyone's just fucking coated in fucking Pepto-Bismol. It's just pink goo everywhere. And we're just like, I don't even know what to do. Like, we're just like, let's just play the show and get paid and get the fuck out of here, bro.
They're just like, just a really hateful like version of like Guar, just without the costumes.
It was
covering the audience and shit. Like,
oh, sorry, just bear with me 1 second. I've just got a message off my wire. Sorry, I've just had a message off my wife. My kids have been hit in the eye with a tennis ball at school.
Oh, crikey, that's not good. I hope they're okay. That's not good.
Right, I'll have to call her back in a minute. Yeah, so that was Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's the one that sticks out. There's been some weird ones, but that, Jesus Christ, like that was something else.
Absolutely. I've got two final questions for you, right? Yeah. And this question is a question I asked every single artist in 2023, and I think there was 103 of them in total, right? So I said to my wife to be Rebecca, I said, should I use it? And she went, no, keep it in. Just keep it in, because you're gonna talk to Jason Evans of Ingested, and he's gonna come up with a fucking rocket of an answer, right? So that's not what she said. But anyway, so I'm keeping it in. So bear with me a little bit, right? So when Spotify, Apple, Amazon, one of these big podcasting hosting platforms buys this podcast off me, right? Yes. I'm gonna sell the podcast. You can have it. I don't want it. You can have it. But what I'll have in return is lots of big, lovely corporate sponsor money. And rather than reinvest it back in the podcast like a normal human being, I'm gonna blow it on one big, massive festival, which Ingested, like every other band who've been on the podcast, are invited to play. Okay. It's gonna be a lovely, big, eclectic bill. But what I want to know is, because I've got lovely corporate sponsor money, I've got loads of money to spend in a massive field. What would you like to add to the dream rider of the festival? Now, I'll give you a couple of examples. So from your realm, from the death metal kind of realm, we had Josh from Cattle Decapitation come on, and he said to me, I want a laundry service, which, you know what, that's going to go down well with a lot of people. So I'm a big, big fan of that one. We've had people say, they want like specific brands of like red wine. They've had like, I had a Polish band on and they said to me they wanted a Polish like energy drink. They wanted to sponsor the festival. Had someone say to me they want Taylor Swift, and I had to ask, in what capacity do you want Taylor? Do you want her playing, or do you want her just he said, no, just sort of milling about being Taylor
Looching
Swift.
Around.
I was like, fair enough. So yeah, you have no budgetary restraint. You have no constructual restraint. What would you like to add?
Oh, I would like to add a full-sized wrestling ring in the backstage.
Amazing.
And four wrestlers.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, to be fair, that when you've done this for a year and a bit, it's hard to think of things that hasn't been mentioned. I haven't had a wrestling ring before, so that is good. That is good. You know what we could do? What is your favorite one?
WWE is my favorite.
I
mean,
I was gonna say there's a few, and I'll be honest, wrestling was something I was into when I was really young, but I haven't really gone back to it since, mainly because it's so vast and there's so like much stuff, and I'm kind of like, I don't know where to start with any of this. So like definitely get a wrestling situation. Would you ever go into the wrestling ring yourself? Because I know bands have done that at festivals before. They're like, oh, there's, you know, so-and-so from this band, he's going to get in the wrestling ring and fuck up this other guy.
I'd have to get in some form of shape. Before a shape that isn't this shape that I'm in right now.
I mean, it's a shape. It is a shape, my man.
It's a shape. It's definitely a shape.
For sure. Jason, I've got one final question for you. It's a question I've asked every single artist who's been gracious enough to give me their time, and it is a simple one, but it's personal to you. What is the best thing about being Ingested for you, my man?
just being able to create something that I want to hear. Like, that's what I think the best part about being in a band is. You are in the unique position of being able to make the exact music you want to hear, perform it in the exact way you want to perform it. Do you know what I mean? Because we're not the type of band that does things to appease other people.
Yeah.
We do what we want, when we want, how we want, and we only ever do things on our own terms. So being like that and having that mentality and that outlook means that we literally create what we want to hear every single time.
Yeah.
And that, like, is such a sick thing, because then that means that your own band is your favorite band. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like I'm making exactly what I want to hear every time. Like, so it's fucking amazing. That and yeah, it's just like I get to do what I love as a job. Like, that's my career. It's like, do you know what I mean? I'm my own boss. Like,
That's the thing with the podcast.
Awesome.
It's kind of like I get offered, you know, I'm very, very grateful. I don't want ever to seem like I'm not grateful, but I offered a lot of stuff, and some things I have to turn down because I don't like the music, and I'm not going to sit here and be disingenuous and be like, yeah. Oh, I really like, you know, if I don't like it, it's not for me. There's other platforms that it's for you guys, but you know, and then other times I've been offered things and I'm like, I just don't like the people.
Yeah,
I've heard
some things
I don't really want. But you know, that's the joy in being your own creative and your own kind of independent in that respect, because you can do whatever you want. And you know, like I love doing this because I get to have conversations like this, you know. And this, I think today is the favorite one I've done in 2024, because your honesty, your humor, it's just been absolutely fucking pleasure. The brand new record, The Tide of Death and Fractured Dreams, is out on the 5th of April. Is there anything else we need to talk about, Jace, before we let you on your way?
Yeah. First off, thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed this podcast. We have got we've got the album, Tide of Death and Fractured Dreams, coming out April 5th through Metal Blade Records. We've got some amazing pre-order bundles.
Amazing.
So if you wanna get that, if you haven't already pre-ordered it, pre-order it through ingested.co.uk. And then on the 17th of April, we embark on our UK and European headline tour.
Amazing.
We are taking out Fallujah, Vulvodynia, and Melancholia with us. So it's going to be amazing. Tickets are flying out at the moment. So again, if you don't want to miss out and you want to come and see us this year, playing a big ass long set, playing loads of fucking songs from all over our career, get your tickets now through again ingested.co.uk. Other than that, keep playing singles that we've released, Paragon of Purity and Pantheon, the latter of which I'm really proud of the music video, because I made all the special effects and the
Amazing.
The props and stuff for the Pantheon video. Yeah, so like, go and watch that because it'll make me happy.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah, and other than that, we've got more singles to come. We've got more music videos to come. We've got more tour announcements throughout the year. So it's going to be another busy year for us. So just stay tuned and enjoy this 2024 of Ingested.
Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. Thank you so much, mate. I hope the album does everything it should, because as I say, it's fucking excellent. And I hope to make it down to a show. And I don't know whether you're a drinker yourself, but if I do come down to a show and I see you, I'll buy you a beer or a drink.
Yeah, I'll have a pint with you. Yeah, no problem.
Thank you, because time is money and all that jazz. But yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, mate.
Thanks
we'll see
a lot,
you all
dude.
Next time.
See you. See ya.